If you have your bulletin, you want to grab that salmon color, or if you're like me, the salmon color sheet. Depends on your education level. My wife told me the correct pronunciation is salmon. My education is not as high as hers, so I'll say salmon. Whichever way, just grab that pinkish looking sheet in your bulletin, and I want to explain some things concerning it. Before we go into the reading of the scripture, you'll notice that on here, it just seems like I already took the notes for you. That's because I did. Yeah. But on the back, you'll notice it says notes, so you can take free notes if you want to. So oftentimes what we'll do is we'll kind of give you a prompt, and then we kind of share, and then you write notes within that prompt. Well, as I was studying, there are some things that God gave me, and I thought they were significant, so I decided to give it to you. I was not sure if I was going to actually say these things in the message, but they were significant enough to the point where I wrote them down for you. But then as we go through the message, as God touches your heart and you feel to write down something that's significant to you, there is space on the back where you can write your notes. So we'll go through these real quick, and then we'll dive into the word, and then we will go from there. In this message today, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. The first one says, grace places the spotlight on God's power and neutralizes our ability to boast about ourselves. The note on that says, God allows us to endure hardships so we can see his power and ability at work. When we, in all of our ability and know-how, can't solve the problem, we must call on him for help. His ability, and more importantly, his willingness to sustain us throughout, is called grace. Psalm 34, and this is the latter part of it, says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. And as it is written here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the latter part of that says, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I want to encourage you to go back in this week and read those scripture passages in Psalms and Proverbs. The second grace point says, grace deepens my trust in God alone. The more we live, the more we have the chance to experience God's power. Each experience, and what's more, the fact that they happen frequently, helps us to gain trust in God. Within each trial, two things become apparent. Number one, we are not as strong as we thought we were. Number two, God is all the strength we need. This shared dynamic should persuade us to trust in God alone. In Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning of that, my soul finds rest in God alone. The third grace point, grace prompts us to lean on God with all, capital A-L-L, our weight. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, Solomon urges us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not to our own understanding, and then to acknowledge him in all our ways so that he may direct our path. And this last note says, the only real way for us to put all our weight on him is to let go of our personal philosophies and mindsets in exchange for the mind of Christ, while pursuing the image of Christ as our ultimate lifelong goal. Now I'm going to admit something here. When I got through and I wrote that last one, I stood up in my office and I literally said, that sounds good. And my wife can attest to that. I pat my little self on the back. And then God reminded me, I gave you that. And I said, oh, okay. But we're going to talk about that in just a minute, boasting. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, And we're going to read this letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And we're going to pick up in the portion of the letter that begins in midway of chapter 11, and we're going to stop just inside of chapter 12. Not actually just inside, but just a little ways inside chapter 12. And then we will go from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 16, says, "I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whenever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the county, in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. Have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Artus had the city of Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Verse 1 in chapter 12, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was called up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one else is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. If, and even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. In this letter, Paul is dealing with some false prophets who have come from Jerusalem, and many seem to think that they may have been sanctioned by the apostles in Jerusalem, and now they're here. And while they are here, they are taking advantage of the people. They're boasting about themselves and what they can do and how they can change lives and whatnot. And the people have gained confidence in them to the point where they're throwing their money at them and their time and their talent, and they're giving all their attention to these false prophets. And it's beginning to irk Paul. And Paul says, well, I can boast also. I've done some things. I've done some great things. I've seen some things, but nobody has done more than me. You say that you're a Hebrew. Well, I'm Hebrew. You say you're an Israelite. Well, guess what? I am too. You say that you're a descendant of Abraham. Well, I got that covered also. Check, check, and check. But if you really want to tally it up, I've suffered more for the gospel than you have. I've been beaten. I've been whipped. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been robbed. I've been mistreated by the Jews, by the Gentiles. I have gone through more things for Jesus Christ than you have. So if anybody has reason to boast, it would be me. Now, as a side note, many of us understand where Paul is coming from. I personally am very confident in all of my abilities. Some people would say I brag or I boast. No, I'm just stating the obvious. But all of us have done that, right? In a little while here, we'll show a clip. Not now, but a little while, we'll show a clip. And every time I see this clip, it just takes me all the way back to every race I've ever run. And before we started service this morning, in the first service, they ran the clip, and somebody said, Jay, that looks like you. I said, no, I was the guy that came in first. So all of us have that little braggadocious little clip to us, right? A little edge to us. And Paul is fighting the urge to talk about his exploits. He then goes on to say, in an odd kind of way, there was this man. And before you all think it's strange, y'all have done this too, right? You go to somebody and says, hey, I need some advice. Not for me, for a friend. Paul takes this same kind of angle. There was this man 14 years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't really know, but he was carried up into heaven, up into the third heaven. And he saw and heard some things that cannot be uttered, cannot be talked about. It's against the law to even mention these things. And Paul was fighting the urge to say that God carried me into heaven and showed me great things. What has he shown you? He then goes on to say, I had a thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan to come to get at me. Now, this is another thing that all of us can equate to. Anybody here got any thorns besides me? I had some people like this. Me too. You got that thing that just nags at you, whether it's that person or that situation or that ailment in your body when you get up after you've been sitting for a long time, or whatever it is. You got something that just nags at you, that pulls at you. Paul was saying that he had that too. And three times he actually went to the Lord and prayed and asked him to remove that. And that's when he heard God tell him, my grace is sufficient. Side note, you can write this down if you want to. Most of the times when we pray, we start off with God or Father God or however. But it was telling that Paul started with Lord. And I pay really close attention to how things are written. It was capital L, lowercase O-R-D, not capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Because if it had been that, he would have been speaking to the Lord our God. That's the short version of the Lord our God, which is speaking to God the Father, the Godhead. But he directs his prayer to Jesus, specifically, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. And he did that because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times that this cup would pass from him. And Paul felt a connection there. And when he prayed three times, he asked Jesus. He asked the Son of God, Elohim, the Creator. He asked the Messiah, the Christ, the crucified one, well, yea, rather the risen one, the resurrected one. He asked him to remove this thorn from him, and he got the same response that Jesus got. My grace is sufficient. Although it's written differently, he goes on to say in Jesus' situation, an angel comes to minister to him, to bring comfort to him. When he prays to Jesus, Jesus hands to him what was then handed to himself. And that was the grace of the Father. As we look at this long list of things that Paul spoke of, beaten, whipped, stoned, tried to kill him, tried to murder him, shipwrecked, robbed, dealt harshly by his friends and his foes. It helps me to look at our own life. Look back on this year, 2020. And as I reflect, I recognize that we've all gone through some hardships. I asked somebody the other day, how are you doing? They said, well, it's 2020. And I get it. And for a short period of time, I think all of us kind of went through that, right? We had to deal with the stay-at-home order, right? And then we had to quarantine. We had to mask up. We couldn't go to the restaurants. They shut down. Now they shut down again. Hopefully right after, you know, after Friday, it'll be open up or whatever. But they're shut down, and we couldn't go through life as normal. And, oh, my goodness, if you have children, you really went through it, because now you had to be the teacher, the principal, you had to be the lunch lady, you had to be all these different things. And we were at home just, I mean, I really believe that Candace and I, we just, when we had a chance to talk to our youngest daughter's teachers, we thanked them emphatically. Thank you, you guys are so awesome. You guys are so wonderful. Thank you for what you do. We are sorry Right? Because we all got a glimpse of what they really go through and what they have to deal with. And we look at 2020 and it looked like the rug was pulled from under us. Some of us in here suffered the loss of a loved one. Some of us, the loss of a friend. Some of us, we lost our job in 2020. Of course, that flipped around. I actually got another job after that, but I lost my job in 2020. It worked out pretty good, actually. Some of us lost our homes in 2020. And yet, we are still here. God's grace, that same grace that carried Paul through all of his trials and tribulations, through his ups and his downs, that same grace carried us all through 2020. That same grace, that same love, that same strength. When all of us felt like, I can't do it, I don't know how I'm going to be, I don't know where I'm going to get my strength from, I don't know. When you kept saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, God says, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. And time and time and time again, we all witnessed and experienced the strength of God. When the load became too much for us, God said, let me grab that for you. And he carried us all the way to this point. So now when somebody talks to you about 2020 and they ask you, "Oh, I'm sure glad to be out of this." And you said, "No, I'm excited for 2020 because I saw the true measure of God's ability in 2020. I saw his grace over my life." So let me switch gears as we get ready to see this video in just a second. That spills over into our spiritual walk. As we have given our life to Christ, it has not always been sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Some of y'all remember that song. It has not always been good. It's not always been sunshiny. It has not always worked out like we thought it would. We gave our life to Christ and we thought everything was going to be good from there. But we found out there's some trials and tribulations, even in this saved walk. We found out, even in 2020, that when everything kind of got pushed together, some of us said some stuff we probably shouldn't have said. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to indict yourselves. Some of us did some things probably shouldn't have done. Some of us had some faults that we wish we could take back. But in all of that, when our weakness, even in our spiritual walk, showed up, God's strength and might in the form of grace covered us. Apostle Paul said, I have not obtained, neither am I perfect, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm striving to be like Christ. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm reaching for that. And I want to encourage you on today that you might have in your mind what it looks like to serve God, to walk this walk, but I'm here to tell you the frailty of our humanness will always show up, sometimes at the most inopportune times. But God wants us to understand that when we fall, when we falter, what did I say? when we fall, when we falter, God wants us to know and understand, I got you. There's another scripture passage that says, he that the Father has given into my hand, no one can otherwise pluck out. If God has saved you from the consequences of your sin, he has saved you. You might fall. You might miss the mark one time. You may say something you should not have said. You may have done something you should not have done. But that doesn't mean that you have disqualified yourself. God's saying that my grace has covered you, and I will pick you up when you're at your weakest point, and I will be your strength. That same grace that carried Paul through all of his hardships, that same grace that carried us through 2020. Now, here's the funny thing. When we look back on life, somebody said, ooh, that was horrible. Yeah, but it wasn't as bad as 2020. 2024 will forever be known as horrible. But the beauty in the ashes is God's grace carried us through. Let's watch this clip, and then at the end of this, we'll wrap up. I tear up every time I see that. I teared up this morning. Do you think I'd be over it? In our spiritual walk, we'll be like Derek. Now, some of y'all, maybe if you ran track or played sports or whatever, maybe you caught this and maybe you didn't. I did. Of course, I was watching it when it happened, 92. Derek was the first one out of the blocks. He had a strong start. He had already made up his lag with the person in the sixth lane. And then his hamstring went out. Broken, disgusted, knowing that he's not going to win, Derek dropped to his knee. And like a true competitor, Derek got up and said, I'm going to hobble my way on. And as he finished the straightway, he begins to walk, run, or hobble into the curb. If anybody knows anything about track, when you're running, you get into the curve. The latter part of the curve, where you saw his father come out, is where we all turn into a different gear. It is at that point we've all made a decision that we're all going to hit this gear. And it just depends on whose gear is better. It was at this point in the curve when Derek is hobbling that his father runs up from behind, grabs him, and then begins to walk him toward the finish line. The funny thing that was telling, if you watch it really closely, is when Derek's father came, Derek at this point was kind of like, I failed. I might as well walk off the track. It was his father that guided him back over into the lanes. When Derek was moving this way, his father moved him that way. It was also telling that Derek at one point in time put his arm around his father and leaned all the way on his father. And his father, when the other people came up, and can I dare to say something? And this might be a little risque, but you know, just pray for me. When the other church people come and tell you that you can't do this like this, that's when God says, I got this. You leave them be. He shooed the other people off. My son is going to finish this race. The father understood something that many of us forget, that the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but the one who endures to the end. And when we pull a hamstring spiritually and we feel like we can't go on, that's when God comes and wraps us up and walks us to the finish line. You don't have to be strong. He will be strong for you. That is called grace. Now, the last thing is, I was watching the crowd. When Derek got up, the crowd was cheering him on. They were encouraging him. But when the father stepped on the track, it turned from encouragement to praise. When we allow for God to be God, he will be glorified in that instance. We have to get out of ourselves and allow for us to be weak in the midst of his strength, so that we can see his grace, his love, his mercy come to fruition, and so that he will be glorified by all of those who are watching. It truly is all God's plan. And the only thing, the only role we play in it is to say yes to him. It really, truly is. Sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it is when we come to that understanding and allow for his grace to move us forward, we'll understand that we can rest and relax in him while he gets the glory and we get the victory. Let's pray. Most Heavenly Father, we are excited now about 2020, because now we understand it. We get it now that we went through all these things just so that we could see you. 2020, clear vision. We now see you clearer than when we began. And we're thankful, God, that you allowed us to endure and to go through and to see all of these challenges. And we're thankful that you have carried us all the way through, through heartaches, through loss, through confusion. You brought the way. And all we can say is thank you. We've experienced your grace like never before. And we understand that it's not on us now, but it's on you. And that we should stand aside and let you have your way. It's not up to us as to how we get to heaven, how we experience eternity. We've yielded our hearts to you, and so, God, we understand now that it's in your hands, that we're in your care, and it is now your responsibility to get us to eternity. God, we pray for those who may be sitting here who have not yielded their hearts to you because they are too busy trying to get themselves together to come link up with you. And God, I pray that they come to understand that there's nothing that they can do to get themselves together, but that they should come to you just as they are and allow for you to do the rearranging. I pray, God, that we get a chance to talk with them today, to pray with them today, that they too can experience you and all of your love and all of your mercy and all of your strength, your power, and most importantly, your grace, even as we do. God, we just pray for each one of us that our mindset will change to see you for who you really are and to love you for your ability. And in the salutation, God, that was given to us by Jude, now unto him who is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be dominion and power forever. Amen.